God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Most of us have probably heard about the great sports hero Eric Liddell. Liddell was a noted track star from Scotland, slated to represent Great Britain at a number of events in the 1924 Olympics, the Paris Games. Famously, Liddell refused pressure from friends, coaches, even the Prince of Wales himself, to run his key event, the 100-meter dash, because the event was scheduled on a Sunday. And Liddell, he came from a certain breed of Scotch Calvinism that was committed to not working on Sundays, for he believed it to be the Christian Sabbath. If we're honest about it, Liddell's story captures our imagination for more than a few reasons. We certainly feel some admiration, that is to say, we appreciate his faithfulness in spite of such pressure. We may even feel a little bit of inspiration. We wish we believed in something that much. But deep down, if we're honest, deep down, we may even feel a little bit of pity. The kind of pity we feel when we see someone younger being what we consider just a bit overzealous at great personal cost. We see the young Liddell and we ask why it had to come to this. Somewhere along the line, surely, in the Olympic scheduling or the training of this athlete or the training of this Christian, we think somewhere this public spectacle should have been avoided. But Jesus this morning says it will be precisely this way. In fact, he promises it will be to his disciples. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. The Sunday morning that he would have been racing, Liddell mounted the pulpit of the Church of Scotland parish in Paris. One can imagine the power of the words rung through the place, "You will be hated for all by my name's sake." Because whatever we want to make out of this particular Christian conviction, Liddell's conviction not to run on a Sabbath, there's an obvious moral here. We simply must be willing to be a people who are willing to pay the price of our convictions. The Lord himself promised us. He didn't warn us or caution us. No, he promised us that it would not be easy to follow him. Rather, it would come at a price. We have severely lost our way when we get to the place of avoiding all the costs of following Jesus. Whether paying a cost only further unites us with the one who paid the whole cost for your sins and for mine. But this passage, this warning from Jesus, it isn't really about an Olympic race. Second look at the passage will remind us there's a bit more going on. While Liddell's Olympic sacrifice is obviously a great personal setback, and it comes at a significant cost, it hardly rises to what Jesus is really talking about when he says this. But before all this, they will lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. You will be delivered up by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. It's not just that we will be hated for his name's sake. No, for some, the cost will be much greater than just being a social outcast. When Jesus says that they will put some of us to death, I don't think he thinks that not being able to run a race in the Olympics is kind of basically the same thing. As he was looking ahead to his own persecution and slaughter at the hands of the powers of his day, promising the same would fall upon some of us, I don't think Jesus had in his mind that 1900 years later, this would be basically like sitting out of a track race. But we ought not to write Liddell off, for his later years, they tell an even larger story. He'd retired from running shortly after the 24 games. He'd returned to China as a missionary. He was born there to missionary parents. During the Second World War, nearly two decades later, he was taken prisoner during the Japanese occupation of China. Being a Christian missionary was illegal. And he was interred at a forced labor camp. The conditions were as bad as you might think. Yet when a release had been arranged for the famous athlete turned missionary, there are Japanese and Chinese and British records that all concur. Liddell sent a pregnant woman out of the camp in his own place. He was martyred shortly before the camp's liberation in 1945. Jesus says this morning, "You will be delivered up, and some of you they will put to death." We might look at Liddell's self-enforced absence from the Olympics with just a little bit of pity. Honestly, I'm not sure he's quite got the Lord's Day exactly right. But we should not be fooled for a moment. His two stories are connected. Because he was able to stand up to the kings and the governors, the princes, when they pressed him on something relatively minor, he was prepared to walk in the footsteps of Jesus as he gave up his life for another. You and I are unlikely to be killed for our faith. We are not likely to be among the some who will be put to death for my name's sake. As for Jesus' more general promise, "You will be hated," we ought to be okay with it. We ought to be okay with it because our generosity, our self-sacrificial love, our worship of a man who came back from the dead is confusing, concerning, and even alarming to the world. We ought to be okay with that exclusion because it trains us to be ready for the moment when something greater is demanded of us. It trains us for the moment when we actually get to love self-sacrificially in the way of Jesus. I doubt Jesus' forecast of death will become true just because Christians say they believe. I don't think the next persecution will be like the last one. But Christians today are martyred because they follow in the footsteps of Jesus, loving against their own self-interest, offering their own selves. And the powers of this age have always been threatened by such self-sacrificial love. Sometimes you might feel like I do. Our daily spiritual life, our prayers, our scripture readings, it can feel a bit rote. Honestly, sometimes it can even feel just a little bit silly. But as we make those small sacrifices, the sacrifices of our time, our energy, as we do our small devotions, we are training ourselves so that we might be able to make the larger sacrifice. It is training so that when the opportunity comes to follow Jesus more nearly, big or small, we're ready. The question the gospel leaves us with this morning: what do we do to be ready? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.